Good morning.
Good morning.
This past weekend, Deacon Gale and Father Eric and myself were at a Forum conference in Arizona, and what I took away from that was something that was, we were born for such a time as this, and we're all born for this time in this place for His glory and for His witness. And on the before we go into Lent, I want to remind everybody it's good to smile, because a smile doesn't cost you anything, but it blesses other people, and sometimes it makes a difference in their lives forevermore. So smile, it doesn't cost you anything, and rejoice in the Lord always. But I used to dream when I was a little kid that I was born a little bit too late, because I was just fascinated by World War II and all these kinds of things, and to be out there and as a young kid in the battle and doing all these kinds of things. And I used to think that I was born about, you know, a generation too late. And but as the Lord always reminds me, you were born for a time such as this. And that's what this last conference reminded me of that. And Deacon Gale, when we were having a staff meeting one time, and I was thinking about driving my car back to Alabama for Jonathan, she said, well, you shouldn't do that. You should just get Jonathan, have him fly out here and drive across country with him and make memories. And Father Eric says, yeah, you ought to do that. And so I did that. And we had spent 3 weeks, and it was just marvelous. And as we crossed country, he revealed to me that he wanted to be an astrophysicist. He wanted to be an astronaut. He wanted to do all this kind of stuff. And we stopped at various things along the way. And so for this last Christmas, I gave him this really nice modern electronic telescope. And because we spent a lot of time as we were crossing the country looking at the stars and the beautiful sky and the places where there isn't a whole lot of light and things like that. And it was just marvelous. And he was just fascinated. And, you know, had this app on your phone that you can turn around and look, and it tells you all the constellations and everything else. And I flashed back to the Navy and remember being a navigator and learning about the stars and all the things, and to navigate across the ocean. It just brought back a lot of wonderful memories. But it also brought back one in particular, if I remember my grandfather and his long glass, and looking at things through that with it has a pretty small field of view. But it was still interesting to how it expanded and more of space than you can imagine and what you could see. And then I remember in the Navy had these things called big eyes, and they're huge binoculars, you know, but they have a big field of view and vision, and you can dial them in and everything else. And when you turn them up, you're supposed to be looking at ships around you, but when you turn them up, when you turn them up at the sky, and there's this massive sky and Saturn's rings and everything else, and there's no other polluted light around, and as captain I could turn off the lights on the ship, and you'd look up there and you'd just stare, and we're mesmerized by the wonderful majesty of the sky, and that our Lord created all this. It was just so gorgeous. And then now as Jonathan uses his telescope, and looks up and sends me all these things and chats about the pictures and everything else. It's one thing to see it, you know, on your page with Webb's telescope, but it's another thing to see it with your own eyes and how he describes the marvels of God's creation. And I say all that because as you look through a telescope, and what the Lord is giving us here in today's gospel is a vision of Jesus and a vision of who he is and whose he is, and what we're called to. And as on his way to the Passion, the Lord takes his disciples up on a mountain, three of them, to witness his glory. Now Jesus, put this in context, 6 days before, well, what happened 6 days before? Well, if you look at the context and what's happened in Mark so far, and remember, Mark's pretty brief about what he says. But anyway, if you remember before, what? Just before this, you have Peter confessing that Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah. And then after that, and some people think this happened on the same day that he confessed Jesus as Lord in Caesarea Philippi, and then it moves on, and then he has his discussion about his suffering and death and resurrection the first time. And they're trying to puzzle that that's not the Messiah they're looking for. And, you know, he's supposed to stay here forever, but now he's going to suffer and be crucified and rise again? What? You know, they're kind of puzzled and they're wondering about this. Haven't been up, not to the top of Mount Hermon, but pretty high up on a trip to Israel. All the things you describe and imagine, and a dark place in the evening and everything else, beautiful, and a starry sky and a starry night, but not to the top. Take me 6 days just to get from Caesarea Philippi walking to the top. But anyway, I don't know. But 6 days, but all this has transpired to let people know what's taking place. And it's all in the context that you are the Christ. To affirm that, the Lord takes them, he's taken them to, first of all, he's taken them to this place in their mind that they don't want to go. And that's that he's going to suffer, be crucified, and raised from the dead. And they don't want to hear any of that. They don't want that. And so then he literally takes them up to the top of the mountain. And as they're walking up there, they get very tired and they go to sleep. And when whoever wakes up first, I don't know, probably Peter, but anyway, they wake up. It's probably Father Eric. He wakes up before the sparrow calls out. But anyway, and he sees, and then he wakes the others up and says, "Whoa, look at this." And he sees Elijah and Moses and Jesus talking together. Luke tells us a little more, and Luke says that they were encouraging him and talking to him and encouraging him about his mission to the cross and what he needed to do, and they were encouraging him and buoying him up, you know, lifting him up. And that's good. But it also lifts up us. Because in Peter's, the second reading today, guess what happens? Peter is reminding the people that are with him now, years later, don't forget this. This is important. It's not hallucination. It's not our imagination. We were eyewitnesses. We were there on the mountain, and we saw and we heard. Not only did we hear what was happening between Moses and Elijah and Jesus, but the cloud enveloped us all, and a voice from the cloud spoke and said, "This is my beloved Son, with whom I'm well pleased. Listen to him." Now think about that. We're to listen to him. Peter makes this comment about building booths. Well, we all like to go to a spiritual high. We all like to stay on the top of the mountain and rejoice. Well, why not build tents? You know, and stay there and remain there forever. But they didn't. The cloud left. Moses and Elijah left. And only Jesus and his disciples were there. Only Jesus was there. Listen to him. And they walk down the mountain, and the first thing they do is go into ministry with a demonic. And the other disciples couldn't get rid of this demonic. And it's only by fasting and prayer. And wow, they went right back into ministry after this, seeing the Shekinah glory, Jesus radiating with the light of his countenance, and hearing the Lord speak to them, saying, "Listen to him." A command. Listen to him. And they walk down, continue ministry, and move on. Jesus in this time is bringing to reality all the things that have passed to this point. He's fulfilling Moses as a great lawgiver and Elijah as a great prophet. And he's continuing their ministry and completing it. We're called at Jesus' resurrection to continue his ministry, to continue in his way, by listening to Him through His Word and through the Holy Spirit's leading and the still small voice that speaks to you and reminds you to smile, reminds you to help a person in need, reminds you to do what Jesus would do. Listen to that voice. As you read Scripture, listen. And during this time of Lent, reflect on the transfiguration as you're being transformed in the image of Christ to be more and more like Him. So that when we end of our lives, we can see through the mirror clearly because we're going to look just like Jesus. So let us remember, as Peter says in his epistle, he calls us to reflect, to remember. He reminds us because time is short. People need to hear the gospel. And don't forget it. We have a habit of forgetting things. But remember that they were eyewitnesses, therefore, through them, and we believe, as Jesus says, those who you believe because you saw my hands and my side, Thomas, blessed are those who have not seen yet believe. And we have not seen, but we can put our place there like the telescope and look, put ourselves on Mount Hermon. Be in that place of the transfiguration where you can see the Shekinah glory and the Lord speaking to you. Listen to Him, my beloved Son. Listen to Him through His Word and through the Holy Spirit that He's poured out upon us and given us. Listen to Him and do what He says. We are in the process of completing His ministry, and He calls each of us to participate. We have an opportunity after the service today for the ministry fair to get involved. But the most important thing we can do is to be in His presence, to be still and listen to that voice, and be obedient to His will. Amen.